We are a culture which craves spectacle. We love it. We want to see it all the time. I mean, our televisions don't get turned off just to make sure we don't miss it. I mean, okay, granted, our individual televisions might be turned off from time to time. But you know, I remember a day, I'm not that old, but even I remember getting up on Saturday morning, if nothing was on, I had a test pattern. My parents tell the joke that I would sit there and watch the test pattern for an hour until something came on. And I remember television stations signing off at night. But now they don't do that. They just run 24 hours. We get spectacle after spectacle. I mean, it could just be the newest and greatest exercise gadget that gets played between the hours of 2 and 6. But, I mean, they're showing something. They're trying to make some spectacle out of anything they can find. We are under a constant barrage of images and stories that are meant to pique our interests. And just in case we don't find them all that interesting, we have commentators and bloggers and correspondents and gads of people who fill us in on why this is such a big thing, trying desperately to get us interested. In case you haven't turned on the TV in the past who knows how many months, there's a royal wedding coming up. April 29th. I mean, we're within 2 weeks, folks. William and Kate are getting married. Every daytime television talk show mentions it daily. It's just part of the script. Major news networks have correspondents who are talking about it. It will have people who have no direct political ties to this family waking at dark o'clock simply to watch the ceremony. It will be a grand spectacle. I'll say that there are at least some redeeming qualities about this event. I mean, it is a significant cultural event. A future king arriving to marry his bride in grand style. That it is unlike most of the spectacle with which we were bombarded, however. If I pick up a copy of the local newspaper, I am more often than not greeted with the image of the latest wreck on I-79. Story itself might be important, but they combine it with usually the pictures of twisted metal or a burnout shell of a house if we're talking about a fire. Much of the information is important, but the news outlets are always trying to capture gripping photos or videos of events that have a lasting image. My dad yesterday was up in town. He was telling me, "Oh, did you see the guy who got clubbed at the pirate game?" He was not cooperative with the police, but it got captured and stuck on YouTube and sent out. It goes viral. We even have people who write intro music to those big events, whether it's Winter Storm, Blizzard, 010, dun-da-da-da, right? Or CNN does this for every sort of military operation that exists, we get those that burn themselves into our head. It adds to the spectacle nature of the events. And then there are the train wrecks of the completely different sort that really round out that desire for spectacle. The celebrities whose lives are nosediving. We are granted insiders' access to the disintegration of their lives. Do you know where I'm going with this, Squawk? They're all up there giggling because they think they know where I'm going. So most recently, you just nod your head if it's right. Most Charlie Sheen, yeah. Mm-hmm. We've heard all too much of Charlie Sheen and his winning. Why we as a culture take so much interest in a person's downfall is somewhat baffling. Maybe without any royal family to speak of, Americans choose the next best thing and seek their overthrow. That's written in our history. We are given worthless spectacle of people striving to hold on to the top rung of the celebrity ladder. And now we watch Sheen fall apart with addiction to drugs and sex and maybe mental illness, we don't know. Every portion of his life gets displayed for us. He's all too happy to put it out there for us. And we continue to watch. Sheen launches a 20-stop tour, torpedo of truth, and the crowds flock. Is this what happens to our royalty? Is Sheen simply the latest king to be taken down? Behold, your king comes to you, broken down and in distress, full of bravado and winning. And for those of us who don't even really know the whole story of Charlie Sheen, let's not feel too smug. We all participate in the bottom-feeding culture in one way or another. And so, in the midst of our desire for spectacle, we stand here now on the brink of Holy Week. We hear Zechariah's words, "Behold, your king comes to you." We wave our palm branches, process in to the great hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor." We prepare for a journey that is, for outsiders and newcomers to the faith, a strange sight to be sure. Jesus' ride into Jerusalem is perhaps questionable as spectacle. It is meant to mirror the entry of triumphant kings into cities. Those processions were a grand spectacle. The whole city coming out to adore him, spoils of war being shown before the crowds, victorious armies, and the king set upon the grandest means of entrance possible, chariot, horse, glorious litter carried by attendants, all seeking to inspire awe and wonder. And Jesus enters upon a donkey with some people present, but some asking, "Who's this?" And within a week, the crowds, even his disciples, will all have vanished. And the spectacle will have turned towards the gruesome. Not as something that we're going to revel in. Not something meant, though, for the bottom feeders only to consume. In many ways, the spectacle which is to unfold will signal the end of our obsession with the death of others. It will signify God's loving plan to us and the end of death itself. It will signal the reality that we are all bottom feeders and our obsession with death is about to be undone. Instead of seeking the death of others, Christ, through his death, will signal our death to the power of sin that has taken hold in our bodies. Through this spectacle, we will see not the braggart coming in to conquer through bravado, but the humble king taking all death that the world can foist upon him and showing his power in weakness, in dependence upon God. Victory through weakness. Victory over death. Conquering our death-obsessed desires. Behold, our King comes. Truly and eternally, winning. Thanks be to God.